I like it. We're going rogue.
Okay. Hello, and welcome back to Girls Like You, the premier Barbie movie review podcast. Today we'll be talking about 2005's Barbie and the Magic of Pegasus, also released as Barbie and the Magic of Pegasus in 3D.
Ooh. Also, Lily told us before filming we're going rogue on this episode, so bump in, because strap in, because it's gonna be a bumpy ride. It's crazy.
Yeah, or like Gelsey said, the movie could also be called Barbie and the Magic of Delusion. So
let me tell you, this is like, I feel like this is the like a Barbie movie that's trying to gaslight you into the universe. Like, instead of explaining any of the in-world like concepts, it's like, no, this is how it happens. Don't ask questions. It doesn't give you time to ask questions. This movie is moment to moment to moment. There is no downtime. And so there'll be no downtime in this filming. It's going to be just like that. This is going to be Girls Like You and the Magic of Delusional Filming.
Well, I mean, they give you an 83-minute runtime, and they don't waste a single second of it on boring exposition. You just go from plot point to plot point.
Let me tell you, the Lord of the Rings could have learned something from this, because this is how you tell a coherent, quick story.
All right, do we want to jump in with a succinct and short plot summary?
Let's do it. Okay, so Annika does not like her parents because her parents are like, why are you going out all the time? They ring the bell on her and they're like, oh, the princess is missing. But she's just ice skating. Don't worry. So then she comes back. She's like, oh, you're ruining my life, because they tell her not to ice skate anymore. So then she goes into her room. But then she's like, on my birthday. So it's her birthday. She's really upset about not being able to ask to ice skate on her birthday. But then she sneaks out because there's some village gathering underneath her room. And she's like, I'm going to go out. And then
the polar bear.
Oh yeah, she meets a polar bear and while she's ice skating in the title sequence. And then so she befriends the bear who makes creepy baby sounds. Anyway. So then when she's ice skating in the village gathering and the bear's skating around too, this evil wizard comes and his name is, I forget, what's his name?
Wenlock.
I wanted to say Warlock, but I know that's wrong. Wenlock. And he's like, nice to meet you, my new bride. And she's like, ew, gross. And he's like, so then he's like, well, marry me or all of your village people and your parents stay ice forever. You have 3 days to marry me. And she's like, well, time to go on a quest if anyone else wants to pick it up.
And then says, get on my back. And she does, no questions asked, because you know what? She needs to get away from this creepy older man, and she's 17. So this holds, and Annika's like, horse, who are you? And the horse Pegasus is like, I'm just a friend. But when they get to the cloud castle where they meet the cloud queen, it's revealed it's not just a friend, it's Annika's sister, who was turned into a Pegasus by Wenlock 17 years prior to when he came to her and said, marry me, and she said no. And he's like, well, I guess I'll turn you into a Pegasus. Woo-hoo-hoo! And she did. And he did that. And then she flew away because she couldn't let her parents live with the shame of her being a horse anymore. And so she's been living in the clouds all these times. So then the Cloud Queen says, well, the only thing we can do to defeat Wenlock is to get a wand of light. Brietta, who's the Pegasus sister, says, I tried really hard and I never found one, so I don't think we're going to do it. But then Annika's like, nah, we can do it. And she's like, okay, I guess my sister's delusional because she doesn't act like this is at all a problem, but sure. So they hop onto the back of her sister, which is a sentence that I didn't want to have to say in this movie, but here we are. And they fly into, of course, the Forbidden Forest, because that's where they're going to find the first thing, which is a measure of courage, which who knows what that means, but Annika thinks she knows what it means, so she's going in there.
So Annika and Shiver fly to the Forbidden Forest, where they are caught in some nets and are scooped up off the ground into net cage things. And this guy named Aiden appears. And Gelsey, what does he use his nets for?
To catch ladies. Hey, ladies, what you doing? And Annika's like, I'm looking for a wand of light. And he's like, you're stupid. That doesn't exist. And she's like, no. And then she realizes the creepy baby polar bear is missing and went down a hole. And she's like, whoop, into the hole. And then Aiden's like, looks at Pegasus' sister and goes, your sister's insane. And she's like, I just learned that as well. So down in the hole, it leads to a huge pot that is being used by Ollie, the creepy giant, who I don't like because he makes weird noises and throws things at the screen because this was going to be in 3D. So they really are using that technology in this scene. So in the pot, she finds Shiver and Ollie's making food, but then she decides, oh, I can goad Ollie to get me out of the pot. So she's like, Ollie, you're not strong. Break stuff. And he starts breaking stuff. He's like, Ollie, you're a bad giant. Chain yourself to the wall, I guess. And Ollie's like, Ollie will do that now. Lunch. Because Ollie listens to his lunch. Don't listen to your lunch if it's telling you to do stuff. Main lesson I learned today. So then she's like, ha ha, Ollie, you suck. And gets out of there with Shiver. And then Ollie destroys his house and presumably dies. So then Aiden's like, I guess that's fine. Sure. And then the sister, of course, saying this, like, this in such a believable tone, goes, Annika, the ribbon you used to escape, it's the exact same height as you. It's a measure of truth. And then it bursts into sparkles and turns into a staff because that's the logic that this movie goes with. So then Aiden's like, you know what? And then this is the funny part, is she's like, okay, let's keep looking for the wand of light, the other two things. And Aiden's like, I don't think it's real. And you're like, Aiden! A piece of ribbon just turned into a staff. Also, Aiden can forge stuff. That's important because that's his one skill and why he has value in this movie. So they're like, Aiden, let's go. You're going to join us, all right? So then they go to a creepy pawn shop in the middle of the woods where all pawn shops can be found. And Aiden goes, creepy pawn man, we need to know where we can find a
gem of ice lit by hope's eternal flame.
Yes.
Right. And he's like, well, I don't have one, but I have a map to it. Give me something, something. And so Annika gives her shoes that have ice skates. They're ice skate shoes. I don't know why I forgot the word. Yes. So he's like, okay. And then he does a creepy smile when they leave. And this is why you don't trust people at pawn shops, okay? This is just first lesson of life, but whatever. So then they follow the map and they like fly and it's like whatever. And they get to a cave. And it's basically, if you've seen Aladdin, it's like that scene in Aladdin where they go to the cave and they go down and you're only allowed to take one thing. But then Shiver's being dumb and takes more than one thing, like Abu does in that movie. So just imagine that sequence, but with a polar bear and a lady instead. And so then they find it, though, because they find the gem. And then it's there. And then they're like, man, but we need a ring of love. And then, what's her name? Brunetta, Aquanet, the Pegasus sister, basically goes, ring of love? I know what that can be. And just flops her crown off because she wears her human crown on her sad horse head to remind her of once what it was like to be human girl in the last 17 years. And then she's like, of course, this is the ring of love. And then it's going to all magically turn into the staff because it glows. But no, they still need Aiden to forge it, which Aiden does. And he goes, ding, 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 ding. And then there's a staff. And they're like, great. And without any question or thinking, should they do this immediately or not? She goes, sister, be no more horse. And then sister turns back into human. But then they realize they're stuck on a mountain. But luckily, the sister has a little bell on her neck given to her prior by the Cloud Queen. And she goes, ding, 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 give me Pegasus. And then two Pegasus come and fly to the sisters. And the sisters jump on the Pegasus and say, adios, Aiden, you're going to be stranded on this mountain. And we're out of here. Lily, do you want to pick up?
Yes. Okay, so they fly off on their Pegasi, but are suddenly chased out of the clouds by Wenlock on his creepy griffin, which is disgusting to look at. And they're flying, and they decide to go into an ice ravine to try and escape him, but he hits Brietta with some sort of spell, and she and her Pegasus are knocked all the way to the ground. Like, they fall, like, 100 feet to the ground and land in a snowbank, and Annika is almost going to escape, but her horse also gets knocked out, and they plummet to their ground, and Wenlock comes and lands next to her, and she's mad because her sister is hurt, and so she takes the strap, and she tries to straight up obliterate him. She says, destroy this man, and he goes, oh, no, but then it turns out he's okay, because the wand, as we learn, it doesn't use magic when people are trying to hurt people. It only uses magic for good, and so he takes the staff away from her and traps her in an avalanche. Luckily, at this moment, Brietta is woken up by Shiver, who's also there. And Aiden comes on his horse. And Brietta goes, oh no, Aiden, Annika's been buried in the snowbank, and the two have all these, you know, have all this chemistry and tension together. So Aiden, of course, goes to save her. And so he and Shiver are digging like wild animals trying to remove the snow from the avalanche, and very quickly manages to uncover Annika. It's like incredibly fast. But she's too cold, and so they revive the Pegasi and then take her to the Cloud Queen's kingdom in the clouds, the Cloud Kingdom. And she's too cold, and they like try and warm her up and revive her, and she's back on her feet. Now it is time for them to fly back to, I want to say Rothbard, but it's Wenlock's, Wenlock's fortress made of ice. They're not that different looking. And they sneak up to defeat him, but they're attacked by the griffin. So Aiden is tasked with fighting off the griffin, and Annika and Shiver sneak up into the lair, and they find the discarded wand of ice, because Wenlock tried to use it to make his troll wives, who he's discovered, yes, all his old wives were turned into troll servants, and this is important. And he tried to make them work faster, but because his magic was evil and not nice, it didn't work, so he cast it aside, and apparently Aiden's bad at his job because the gem fell right out. So they discover the staff and the gem. They're ready to put them together and use it against him, against Wenlock, but alas, the gem is knocked from Annika's hand. At the same time, Aiden, fighting with the griffin, is knocked off the ledge and plummets to his death, we think. Instead, Aiden somehow survived the fall of the precipice and climbed up the slippery ice slope and caught the gem. Everything that they needed to go right happened. And they put the staff together, and Annika floats up in the air.
Oh, no, the wife. The wives get the staff.
Oh, yes, yes.
Lily, you can't miss
it. Sorry.
Detail.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they put the staff back together, and the troll wives have it. And Wenlock says, "Give the staff to me," and she almost does it. But then Annika said, "I'm going to use that staff to help us, all of us." And she's going to stand up for the little guy, which is what she does. And the troll wife decides to give it to Annika. And when she has the staff, she's able to use it to fight against Wenlock. She creates like a bubble of magic and starts floating in the air. And Wenlock tries to shoot his evil blue beam of light at her. And the bubble rises and rises and rises. And then all of Wenlock's evil magic is destroyed. Yay. So he no longer looks like a scary, sexy sorcerer. He looks like a balding, gross guy with a comb over. And his trolls are turned back into their beautiful human selves. Oh, and the griffin is a gross-looking cat, and the whole castle fortress thing starts to crumble around them. All is well. They travel back to the kingdom. Annika's parents have been restored. Everyone has been restored from their petrified state, and they're excited to see that she's okay. She brought this handsome man. And who else is there? Their long-lost daughter, Brietta, who hasn't aged in the 16 years she's been missing, which is good. Because then it would be kind of awkward if she was just like a 35-year-old woman. Then Aiden and Annika travel to Aiden's father's house, and he learns that his father loved him the whole time, even if he did gamble away his family's fortune.
Yeah, that's a plot thread.
That was a plot thread that Aiden was ashamed.
That was his tragic backstory. Yes.
That he gambled away his wealth.
That's why he was so emo.
He felt too embarrassed and too ashamed to return to his father.
He just left without saying anything, presumed dead by the only man who loved him.
It's very sad. And then in the end, Annika, Brietta, Aiden, Shiver, the cloud sprites, and all ice skate together to happily ever after. And Wenlock and his troll wives float off on human wives, float off on a slab of ice, and they force him to do all the chores he had been making them do for years. Wow, what an insane story. But like I said, it's so fast-paced that you just really, you get into it.
Yeah, a lot happens there.
You get kind of invested, though things are kind of ridiculous, where you're like, oh, the ribbon's the measure of courage. And then you're like, what? But then at the end, like, when they, like, Aiden was fighting the griffin and then he fell off the cliff, we were all like, oh, what? I was like, I don't remember what happened. What happened?
I have to say, I like how they did the characterizations in this movie a lot, mm-hmm. because, like, the villain is just, he doesn't really have, like, a big overall goal. He's just trying to marry underage girls and
collect them in a polyamorous cave.
And so, yeah, he's just, like, terrifying. You don't know what he's going to do next. He might turn on you on a dime. Aiden's, like, this emo Ken who, like, has this dark backstory where he thought he ruined his father's life and he never wanted to talk to him again.
Dark backstory is a gambling addiction. Aiden, just go get help. Maybe people struggle with this. It's not that big of a deal.
He's, like, pretty gruff, too. Like, I think, like, I mentioned it while we were watching it, but he's very much, like, a Han Solo type character. Yeah. Like, kind of, like, kick butt, take names. He's like, you know, and kind of just like not taking any crap from, like, you know, even like a lady. He's like, no, he's like, you know, they bicker a lot at the beginning, but then he, like, he cares about her. He's like, I need you when she's unconscious.
Please wake up. I need you.
Aiden?
So I was like, okay. It was also one of those things where you're like,
it was cute when you watch it, but when you say, someone says, I need you, to an unconscious person, it's a little less cute
when you say it like that. Although this movie, I just feel like, doesn't even care about having healthy relationships. It's like, it doesn't need to explain it, because the main driving force is that a creepy 30 to 40 year old man wants to have a 17 year old marry him and join his creepy, like, multi-wife cave, which I just think is like, Barbie went there. Like, I just don't, you wouldn't see that in a traditional children's film. And honestly, I think it's a bold move they made. They were like,
yeah.
Well, he propositioned Brianna, and that was,
she was 17.
He propositioned
two 17-year-olds, and when they don't agree, he turns one into a Pegasus and then threatens to kill the entire other one's village.
Well, he had to be already 30 when he propositioned Brietta, so he has to be in his, like, 50. Late 40s or 50s when he's,
well, unless he also, or unless he, like, used his magic to not age, because he did look different when he, like,
physically not age broke. And still be 50 years old.
I guess that's you cannot age and still be 50.
Well, poor Brietta. I mean, she was a horse for 17 years, and now is a 35-year-old woman looking like a 17-year-old.
I really want to explore, like, that must be psychologically taxing. Like, she must, like, have a lot of PTSD from that horrible 17-year experience. I mean, the cloud people seem nice, but you're still a horse. And also, you're never going to see your friends and family again or find any kind of fulfillment in life. And you're a horse. Like, and also, you must imagine, like, I want to see the sequel to this movie of Brietta not being able to, like, join back into, like, human society. Like, she still eats all her food like this, and she doesn't know how to pee correctly, and, like, she just, it's very hard for her, and, like, sometimes she tries to fly, but she no longer can fly. Like, wouldn't you think that would be very odd for you to once have this, like, extremely magical ability of flight, and that be your main mode of transportation, and then all of a sudden you're back to being stuck on the ground with two legs? You used to have four legs, and now you have two legs and no wings? I mean, that would traumatize you.
She spent all of her adult life as a horse. So
she went through puberty as a horse. Horse, no. Puberty.
She didn't go through puberty after she
went through late puberty as a horse.
Late puberty.
Second puberty. She went through second puberty. You know, you have first puberty. None of us are med students, and none of you can tell me that's not real. Willie's kind of a med student, but she can't tell me that's real.
And I'm not close enough yet.
Yeah. So, Lily, yeah.
What I learned about
second puberty in grad school.
Well, if I'm ever proven wrong, Gelsie, you'll be the first that I tell.
I need you to be proven right, because as far as I'm concerned, this is what's known in the medical community.
Okay, thinking back on the plot, I made a note while we were talking about it. So the villagers know that she loves ice skating, and it's a small village, and there's nothing else around this castle. So they must know, like, it's her birthday, and they're throwing an ice skating party on her birthday that they know she can't go to.
Okay, I was thinking about that, too. Like, how rude is it of them to have this huge, elaborate party right outside her window on her birthday and know that she's not allowed out of the house? It's kind of like the village is like, ooh, Annika, look at us having fun, even though we're poor, but you're a rich princess and you can't ice skate with us. And I honestly think that's why they're so shocked when she comes down there. Not because they don't see her often and they know she's grounded, because they're like, oh, Annika, this is awkward. You weren't invited to the village party because we don't like you, because, you know, you're the rich and we're poor. And we come back to the classism that we see in Princess and the Pauper, but it's continued. And they're like, yeah, you're not accepted here because, you know, your family completely destroyed the local economy by creating this extremely large mansion in our our small community, because we didn't want you here. Like, it was one thing when your family was a, you know, far away governing board, but now that you're up in our grill all the time and it's because your sister being turned into a horse, like, we don't need that. We don't want you here.
Everyone just bullies. Wow.
That's the subplot we needed.
Well, you know what it is? I bet that the villagers are tired of the princess's missing bell being rung at like 5:30 yeah. every morning because she's always sneaking out to ice skate.
Oh, that's just in her room, which is a weird, like, I guess it's good because when they go into the room and see she's not there, they can just go straight to the bell. Annika!
The princess is missing.
Like, well, of course she's missing. She doesn't want to be here. And we don't want her here. Good. Keep the princess missing.
Good riddance.
Man. And then I bet they're kind of like a little ticked off after she comes back. And I'm like, we almost all died because of you, because of some creepy old man who, by the way, you guys shouldn't even be here because this isn't your village. So you brought this to us.
Yeah, they almost got petrified forever.
Yeah. There were children in this village, poems, people, and they.
Eric,
the small boy, almost lost his life for this nonsense to a crazy wizard who wants to marry your daughters. Stop having daughters!
Now, if you didn't have a second child, none of this
no
would happen.
No more daughters for you all!
Your kingdom could have just had a horse queen. Like,
just let there be a horse queen! We're okay with that!
She can still talk.
She seems nice.
She flies, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's two more things I want to hit before we run out of time because we're doing a super short episode. Oh,
well, I realized that the meeting is also online, so I can stay on a little bit longer.
Okay.
Woot, woot.
Nice.
Woot, woot. We're going to have to keep this part in the episode.
Woot, yeah, the woot, woot. But I say we cut out the context of the woot, woot, and we all just start randomly going, woot, 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 woot.
And we live in this part where we're talking about why we're woot-wooting without actually referencing.
Yeah, no, we leave in that part, but we don't reference why we've been woot-wooting.
Just okay. Like the movie, you get the exposition after things happen. You're like, why are the parents so overprotective? And it's like, oh, the horse daughter.
Of course.
I have to say, even though so much goes unexplained in the beginning, like, I think everything comes back. Like, the only thing I would have liked to see again was maybe Ollie, but at least he comes back in the bloopers.
I did not want to see Ollie again. Ollie is this movie's Hugh. I don't want to see him again.
No, I actually think I feel like Ollie's more palatable than Hugh, at least in my opinion.
I think it's because Ollie is so big, so the unpalatable things are expanded into a larger size. Like, if he was Hugh sized, I'd be okay with it, but he's Ollie sized and he throws vegetables at the screen, so I do not like him.
Well, also
I dislike vegetables.
His face, like, goes into, like, the
3D. Oh, yeah.
And it's very disturbing.
And now
he gets real close.
Now, Alyssa, all I can think about is a giant Hugh in place of Ollie coming at the screen, and I will not be sleeping tonight.
Getting an inner workings of your mind, Kelsey. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ollie in the bloopers, so he's, like, trying to say, like, it's in the movie, he's like, Ollie want lunch. But he's like, Ollie requires a luncheon this evening, you know? Like, he's clearly, like, trying to make it, like, sound fancier. And they're like, no, Ollie, we just want you to say Ollie want lunch. He's like, 12 years of theater for this. And I'm sitting there kind of like, they're, like, stereotyping this ogre that he has to sound more like an ogre.
So I could try. Ollie quite enjoys a delicious luncheon. Or perhaps Ollie relishes a midday repast. Or...
No, let's stick to the script. Ollie-like lunch is fine.
12 years of theater for this.
This is like almost like a kind of like race-based stereotype. We're like, you're an ogre, and the only character you can play is stupid and large and eats ladies. Don't you try to add any more nuance to this. We didn't hire you for this. And then you know there's like an ogre actors union that's about to sue this film.
Yeah, I mean, this poor man is just trying. He's like gone to, okay, first of all, he went to 12 years of theater school.
I mean, that means he did, assuming he did a BA and then he went and got a master's and probably has a PhD. Like, he's very well, like, to have 12 years of acting school. Like, that's more or less what you have.
So he's smart. Probably
very well known in his craft. And what he's being reduced to is Ollie want lunch. He should sue this film's production. Ogres deserve better representation in the media. I'm upset.
I mean, Shrek is pretty good representation, but...
Shrek is nuanced. Shrek has layers.
Shrek is a class traitor.
Ogre. Yeah. Onions have layers. Ogres. Yeah. Have
Shrek layers. Has layers like an onion. Ollie just eats onions and throws them at the screen.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have to say, these
That's
bloopers,
what they've reduced him to.
I think these one bloopers are better than the Princess and the Pauper bloopers. I laughed at every single one.
Yeah, the Shiver ones didn't really get me. Or maybe the last part, the things that did not have to do with Shiver, because she, like, slid down and knocked over the camera person, and then they're like, what was her name? Like, Karen, are you good?
Off the camera.
Take 24, and action.
Hello?
No. Cut. Carlene, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just get the bear. Off the camera.
Get the polar bear off the camera.
Very important to note that Alyssa does not like Shiver. It was
no. I made a face every
the entire time by Shiver's existence.
Sparkle.
Well, it was just the way that she talked. Like, I'd be fine with like bear noises that would make sense, but she was like kind of in between baby babbling and talking.
It was
but a bear.
And it wasn't, like weird enough to be, like, bibble, where that sound is so odd that it is a baby. Like, that sounds fine. Also, the fact that she constantly, like, hugs onto Aiden's leg and then the creepy face, and it looks like when a dog is humping a human being's leg. Like, that's what it looks like, and it's very much implied that Shiver has, like, a crush on Aiden, so it's very uncomfortable for her to be holding onto this grown man's leg, going, hey, and baby noises! It's weird!
Yeah, I don't like that the child bear is sexually attracted to the human adult man.
I don't like that.
She'll just look at him and go, Spacka Spacka.
Spacka Spacka.
That's the one where she does, though, and it sounds terrifying. So we talked a little bit about how Aiden is not your typical kind of like Ken stand-in. Annika is not your typical Barbie stand-in. For one, she's funky. She's sassy. Oh. She tried to murder a guy in a fit of rage.
I like that Lily's like spunky and sassy. I'm like, she's unstable, delusional, and clearly has unresolved issues where she's willing to kill a man without second thought. Like, and when it does not happen, she is upset. She's like, wand, why didn't you murder? And then later when she learns that the wand only responds to good things, she goes, I learned that the hard way. I'm like, no, Annika, you didn't learn the hard way. You tried to murder a man. And the wand was like, no, crazy. We're not killing people today.
Like, if anyone has ever deserved it, though, I would say this man did.
Yeah, no. Like, I think they had to, like, overdo it with Winlock. Because I think, honestly, I believe that at some point they realized, oh, my God, Annika looks crazy. So we need to create a villain in which this sort of reaction is okay. So they're like, because I'm sure maybe, like, the first Winlock was only, like, just trying to marry her but didn't have this weird, like, I have multiple wives and I'm willing to murder people nonstop and all this crazy. Like, maybe it was just that kind of plot, but then they're like, oh, no, we need to step it up to 11 because Annika's is crazy, so we need to make Winlock really crazy to balance it out. And so then they added polyamorous troll cult wives and turn sis into horses.
That makes sense. Yeah, because I was also, like, the thing that bothered me, too, is, like, why is Wedlock, right? That's his name?
Wait, I think it's Wenlock.
Oh, Wenlock. Yeah, you're right.
But it's close to Wedlock, and he's going into marriage, so.
Yeah, and that's, like, his only motive is, like, making a collection of troll wives. I'm like, why does he want to do that? Like, did someone hurt him so that he was like, I need to be loved? I feel like that would make more sense. Like Aiden has a backstory. I don't know. I just feel like I need a good backstory to be like, okay, why is this man so evil? But he's just like crazy.
Yeah. But then, like, what's weird is when Annika's, like, you know, I guess giving into the plan, like, okay, fine, I'll marry you. He's like, no, I don't want you anymore. I'm like, what? She's completely broken and willing to become your, like, subservient wife and inevitably a troll. And you're like, no, it was more fun when I was the one threatening you. And I'm like, what? And then it's not even like he, like, kidnaps Brianna or Brianna, Brununu, whatever her name is. It's not like he even goes and kidnaps her and tries to remarry her. He's like, nope, you're both dead. I dislike you both. No, I must go find. And it's like, then we don't even see him trying to find a third wife, like a third person to now be the new wife, which I thought would maybe be an interesting thing is now they save a third person. I don't know. Because if not, his motives don't make any sense. Because, okay, the only motive he has to chase her this entire film is to inevitably, like, wed her. But he could just not have gotten involved, let her go, let her make the Wand of Light, save her sister and save her village, and still keep his troll wives and then go find another wife. But he doesn't do that, which means Winlock is just, A, his goals aren't actually that important to him, even though it's his only, like, identifying thing, or B, he has a much more complicated backstory that we are not being given.
Well, he does say at one point, I don't chase women. Women chase me as the reason.
But then he chases a woman.
But he doesn't chase her at that point.
But then he starts chasing a lady. So, Winlock, what are you doing? You could have kept your troll wives and not been turned back into a creepy man if you just didn't, just said, you know what, this one's not worth it.
Or even the first one. He said the first one wasn't worth it.
The same family twice.
I don't know. He's holding this weird grudge. And when he first meet him, he touches down and Annika's like, who are you? And he's like, you mean you don't know? And she said, sorry to burst your bubble. And he goes, I'm your future husband.
You know what's interesting about that line is then later she destroys him with a bubble.
Oh, it comes
with a bubble.
Wow. So the modern slang that they threw into this movie set in some sort of olden time actually comes back. I love it.
Wow. I thought she was just being nasty.
No, it's a foreshadow. You done been foreshadowed.
Wow. She makes a lot of interesting choices in this film.
Yeah. And kind of to go back to the original point, you know, before the Winlock spinoff, but I kind of appreciate in this movie how she, like, Barbie messes up in the beginning, and it's not like, here, Kelly, let me tell you how I live my life perfectly with this story. She, like, you know, sneaks out, and then she's, like, realizes that she was wrong for doing that, and then, like, apologizes to her parents. That's nice. Like, wow, this is good. This is healthy.
I enjoy that. I will say that's what's nice. And I will say Barbie really just, like, good. Like, I guess her name's Annika, but it's hard to, like, she's Barbie. And it's hard, like, it's what's interesting about Annika in this movie is that she just, like, goes at, like, she has no inhibition. She's like, all right, cool. There's just, like, I think maybe the ribbon thing turning into a staff is ridiculous, but my favorite part is when they're up on the mountain and she just sees the sun hit some snow and says, yes, that is the gym with light, with hope's eternal flame. And I'm like, no, like, that's nobody's logical conclusion to the sun hitting a mountain of snow, which it was also really interesting to this is then, yes, there are gyms in this mountain. So I guess it turns out, but when she goes to a specific gym that's, like, being hit by the light, she's like, ah, yes, it must be this light. It pans over to, like, another gym where that exact same thing is happening to it. And I'm like, and then the Hope's Eternal Flame thing doesn't really, I don't know. That one's where, like, I'm like, Ring of Love, fine. Measure of Courage, sure. That one seemed a little like they just were like,
Annika's thing was that she was always hopeful and Brianna was like lost hope. Yeah.
The sunrise brings hope of a new day. I get that, but that's like a lot of mental steps to take, especially I think for a kid to be like, yeah.
Well, and also at the end of the movie, well, because like you see two in the cave because Aiden takes one and but it's not out of greed because he's like, I have no money.
Exactly.
And so, but then it comes in use later when one of them, the original one, falls off the cliff, and then Aiden pulls out his, and he's like,
"Oh wait, that
I thought he caught it.
That no, it was his." It was like, there's, well, I think that was like two things. So there's like always hope. So then there's always like, you know, even when you think hope is lost, it's still there.
Wait, but
then
also he was villain. That was Aiden's gym.
Yeah, yeah. but then that's also like really like beautiful because then it's like he sacrificed his way to buy home.
Given it some pause so we would have understood the emotional weight of that action because it happened so fast that I just thought he had caught the Onyx.
It's like, wow, he scaled the ice wall and caught the gem. Like, that's so impressive.
Grab the gem.
Yeah, because he didn't have one to give to his dad. He just like came home, but he's wearing fancy clothes and brought home the princess. So
I just assumed his sugar mommy princess gave him money. And now he didn't have to worry about the gym. That makes so much more sense, Alyssa. Thank. I like Aiden a lot more now. No.
You know, one thing that I was just thinking about is I always assumed, like, in their quest, they feel like they're looking for specific objects, but then the things that end up being the measure of courage, the ring of light, and even the gem of ice lit by hope's eternal flame are just, like, things that they find and then say, like, oh, look, it's the same height as you, and you were brave with it, so it's a measure of courage. So really, all of those things aren't specific items. They're just, if you say, oh, it's a measure of courage, all of a sudden it's a measure of courage.
Yeah, well, and like when they did the like ring of love, Brietta, she like had the crown and they were going to forge a ring from like Aiden's sword. But then she's like, no, use my crown instead. And it was expressed that she had emotional attachment to the crown.
But
like,
then that's also like a weird way for Aiden to be telling Annika, a girl he just met, that he loves her because he was willing to make a ring of his love for her.
I think they were just going to make a ring, TBH.
And it was going to be a ring from the Forged of Love. Forged from his love for Annika that he's grown.
Oh, yeah. But then he didn't even need a forged ring because when Brietta said that she, like, loved her parents, then the crown turned into, like,
a circle. Forge it all together.
Yeah. Right.
It was inconsistent.
Magical spell was very strange.
Like, it would only do the work halfway. You still have to build the wand.
Like,
if you don't have a forger, then...
You're so screwed.
Up the creek without a paddle.
10 out of 10 Barbie film.
Yeah, I have to say, like, there was a lot of chemistry between Annika and Aiden. They were always kind of nipping at each other, and then they were really there for each other.
I just wish Peter wasn't there, creepily holding his leg. I would have loved their romance more. It wasn't a good baby polar bear going,
That's true. That's why, well, it was better, like, at the end, I guess, when there was more... like the stakes were higher and they were like skating around and then they were like running around the castle and he like pulled her to the side to like get out of the griffin's eyesight and you're like, oh, you're like pulled her close.
I felt things watching this movie. I don't know if I'm just like been locked up in quarantine for so long, but I felt romantic things. I was like, oh, that's sweet. I like this relationship.
It was a lot more exciting than I remember because this is not really one of my favorites growing up. Like, it was like, oh yeah, I guess we'll watch that one, but like watching it back, I was like, wow, this is pretty exciting. Yeah, pretty fun. And it was refreshing that like both the like Barbie and Ken character dynamics were a lot different. They were like more spunky and more like kind of playful with each other. But
yeah
it was good. That was a great film. I enjoyed watching it and reviewing it with you guys.
Yeah, analyzing the characters' motives.
I love what we put into these movies. All right. Do you have anything else to say?
Winlock.
Okay.
You know, eat your lunch. Don't
Nothing's more hopeful you. Than the dawn.
Nothing's more hopeful than the dawn. Okay. No. Be sure to follow us on your choice of podcast hosting platforms or on our anchor.fm page. For any questions, comments, or Barbie movie insights you think we should or should have covered in this or any other episode, email us at girlslikeyoupod@gmail.com or leave us a voice message on our anchor.fm page.
And remember, if you have a gambling addiction, there is help for you. Aiden should have just gone and gotten some help. It's okay. Millions of people struggle from it every year. You will get help. Thank you.
Also, don't pick up polar bears.
Polar bears that moan like children are weird. Get rid of them.
PM.
Avoid them.
There's no help for that one.
Bye.